Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. The sermon for today, which is Trinity Sunday, we start the Trinity season. And the title is The Holy Trinity. And the sermon is by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun. Trinity Sunday brings us to the midpoint of the church year. We spent the time from Advent until today, about 6 months, thinking about how God has shown himself to us in the most important events of the past and the future. Now we spend another 6 months, from today until Advent comes round again, trying to grow in our understanding of what those events mean in our everyday lives. On Trinity Sunday, we think about the distinctive Christian understanding of the essential nature of God. We believe he has shown us that he is threeness, Trinity. The main proclamation of the Hebrew religion is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The main proclamation of the Christian religion is, The Lord our God is one, and he is also three. Some scholars believe that when the Israelites said, The Lord our God is one, that they were really trying to convey, what they were really trying to convey was the idea that God was alone. The God of Israel is different from most of the other gods of the ancient world in that he did not have a wife. He was alone in that sense. That idea had nothing to do with thinking that marriage was a bad thing. On the contrary, God told everyone in Israel to get married, be fruitful, and multiply. The aloneness, the bachelorhood of God, if you will, meant that he was completely responsible for creation. He did not create things sexually with a female partner goddess, as so many other gods were believed to do. Instead, the God of Israel spoke everything into existence himself. Christianity does not deny what the Hebrew Bible says. After all, we know that the same God operates in both the Old and the New Testaments. The Christian doctrine of the Trinity goes beyond the idea that God is alone to say that the nature of the one God is to reach outside himself. He does not exist in solitary splendor. He eternally begets a son whom he loves. The son whom God begets and whom he loves is the person through whom he creates the heavens and the earth. St. John calls God's Son the Word of God, and it is through God's spoken word that things come to be. It is also through his word, his Son, that he shows himself to his creation. God the Son, who is with his Father as pure spirit from before the beginning of time, enters human history by coming to earth in the first century as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is put to death because he tells the world exactly who he really is. Before Abraham was, I am. He who has seen me has seen the Father. The Father and I are one. The power through which God continues to create and to lead his people into the right understanding of what he is up to and what he wants of us is called the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. The presence of the Holy Spirit of God in the world shows us that God does not intend to be alone. His life is bound up with us because we are his people. The way we get united to God, the way we become caught up in his social being, his not being alone, is through the sacrament of holy baptism. That is the subject Jesus discusses with Nicodemus in the rather strange conversation which is today's gospel. Jesus tells Nicodemus, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again of water and the Spirit. We are born the first time when we come out of our mothers. We are born the second time when we are baptized. At the moment of baptism, God puts His Holy Spirit inside us. That ties us to Him forever. He adopts us as His children. We become, by God's grace, what Jesus is by His nature. At the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells the disciples to teach everybody what He has taught them, and then to baptize them with this formula: in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The reason the formula for baptism is the name of the Trinity is not for its hocus-pocus, incantationary value. We use the name of the Trinity in baptism because it is baptism that takes us into the life of the Trinity. One of the things the New Testament teaches us about baptism is that it grafts us onto the body of God the Son. We are made members of the actual living, breathing body of Jesus on earth, which is the Church. Baptism makes us part of the Son. The Father loves us because we are in His Son whom He loves already. We love the Father back because we are in His Son. The love that flows between us and through us is the Holy Ghost. So the God who is Trinity is not alone. He goes out from Himself to beget His Son and to create the universe and to fill it with His Spirit. God is not outside of us, away from us, and separated from us. He has made us partakers of the divine nature, as St. Peter says. God is in us, and we are in Him. We are members of His body, and He lives His life of creation and power and love in us and through us. In heaven, we shall see the Trinity as St. John does in today's epistle, taken from the book of his Revelation. The Father on the throne, the lampstands of the Spirit in front of the throne, and the Lamb, as it had been slain, about to appear. The Lamb, who is the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, Jesus Christ. The nature of the Trinity is active and creative love. We are made part of the Trinity's life when we are baptized. We share God's eternal life from that moment on. Hear, O Israel, our God is not alone, and neither are we. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed, as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.